I think this is our final message in this series on the book of Hebrews, the supremacy of Christ, making Jesus the main attraction. I say probably is the last sermon because, I did think about maybe going back over in Hebrews 11, that faith hall of fame, and just, you know, reading some of the stories that are in there. I don't know yet, because there are some things that are rolling around in my mind that I think need to be said, and so I'll be working on that too. So, but I hope you've enjoyed this overview of the book of Hebrews. Yeah, right on. Yeah, and when I say enjoy, I don't mean I hope you were entertained by it. What I mean is that I hope you've been inspired maybe just to do your own study in this book, and in that book of Hebrews especially, or any part of the scriptures. Heard a great quote from a pastor just the other day, and he said that he likes to tell people that they should be living in the Word. And he was saying that to other church pastors, right? He said, don't just be in here to look for sermon materials, but live in this Word. And I think it's becoming more and more important that we do. And as I mentioned, I think last Sunday, you don't have to read great gobs of it. You don't have to become some Bible expert. You know, no, feed yourself on these words here, because God will speak to you in this. I can't stress the importance of that enough, to be in His Word and prayer. Prayer is absolutely vital, and I really believe it's going to become even more so as we move into the next phase of whatever is happening in the world right now. And then really, I was thinking to myself, what else can you do in a sermon? Other than just encourage you, as I encourage myself, in our own walk with God. The Bible refers to this as the foolishness of preaching. But there really is a benefit in doing this. I don't want to talk myself out of a job or anything, but just as I've mentioned it a couple of times, and it certainly doesn't just happen in bringing a morning message, but every one of us, in all the different ways that God has gifted us, bless you. You know, I was thinking of this in one of my prayer times this week. I was looking over the church directory, and I pray from that directory on a daily basis. So if you're in that directory, you get prayed for at least once a week. Yeah, no, hey, you're welcome. I'm glad to do that. And I was thinking again about just how the Lord has placed each of us in this congregation, this assembly, to use a Bible word, right? This representation of the body of Christ that gathers here at Generations. Now, oh, by the way, if you're not in the directory, now I was going to say let Mary know, which of course you should do, but Mary's home with a cold right now, so she's not feeling really well, but I know she's out there on Zoom, so we'll just all wave at Mary. There we are. And so, but let Mary know your contact information. We'll get you in that directory. But all of us, and in so many different ways, we use whatever gift the Lord has given us to do our part. Our part in spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. Those great verses in Hebrews 10. Every one of us has a place here. Everyone has a ministry here. I have this microphone right close to me, and I just had to do that. I don't have Mary's cold yet. Every one of us has a ministry here. Oh, and I should mention, speaking of using their gifts, all right, we have a couple of guest preachers here for the next couple Sundays. Interesting how this worked out, actually. But I have a conference coming up this week, and it's with Vision Ministries. And they're kind of like the umbrella organization over this church. And they work with churches all across the country. But this time, their conference is happening close by here in Waterloo. So I'll be going to that this week. And so so I asked if Sean would bring us our sermon, which he will do, Lord willing, next Sunday. But I was also hoping to get a couple of days off at a friend's cottage. I was going to do it this coming week, but then they asked me at Faith FM if I could fill in on a couple of air shifts, and I thought, well, okay, I guess I can. And then, out of the blue, last Sunday, Ann Snyder came up, and she said, I'm preparing a message again. Yeah. So then I said, are you available April 28th? This wasn't selfish on my part, and I just want you to know. But it was just the way it all fell into place. Don't feel any pressure. But Lord willing, April 28th, Anne will share with us. And it's always a blessing when you do, by the way. People get blessed when Anne is here. I'll still plan to be around, you know. But since you won't hear from me in a couple of Sundays, I thought I better make this a really good sermon this time. We're going to look at the verses in Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to even go verse by verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, if you were on our email list, by the way, let me know if you want to be on our email list, because I send out a Tuesday email every week. And I sent out for you I gave you some homework. I gave you that song to listen to by Robin Mark. Okay, good. Some of you did, I know. Yes. I won't get a show of hands. I won't do that. But it's interesting. And it's interesting we did Shine, Jesus, Shine, but we also did Days of Elijah. Yes, thank you. I'll mention this really quickly because when I used to go to the Guelph camp, there was a guy that used to always bug me. What do you mean these aren't the days of Elijah, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? These are the days. These are the days. Something's happening. So thank you for doing that song, because this song was also on the Revival in Belfast album released back in 2002. The song was written by Jim Cowan, and it was called When It's All Been Said and Done. And if you want to go back to that email, you can listen to it because it's just got that Irish lilt to it, and it's a really nice song. I won't sing it here, but some of the lyrics go like this. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. When it's all been said and done. And you know, really, there is no more important verse. And I'm going to really keep Michael on his toes here today, because I'm not sure where I'm going to just stop and say something hopefully intelligent. But you know, there's no more important verse in the entire Bible. And we're going to start it off with Hebrews 13 and verse 1, the Lord's new commandment. There it is. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. I mean, you work on that and everything else falls into place. And if verse 1 is the most important, verse 2 can be called the weirdest book or verse in the whole Bible. Here it is. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You know, earlier in the first part of the book of Hebrews, we learned that angels are sent to minister to those who will inherit eternal life. That's you and I. They walk among us somehow. And I've often wondered, I can think back a couple times in my life, and I thought, okay, was that an angel actually that I met? I don't know. You don't either. But it's why we always practice hospitality, because we don't know when we will encounter an angel. Is that not the weirdest verse? But it's there. It's in the Bible. Now, we don't have this so much here in Canada, but you know there are places in the world, and we're to continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. And thinking, as I mentioned earlier this morning, in countries like Iran, you can't let people know you're a Christian. You simply can't, because it will be their solid, solemn, sacred duty to take your life. And so there are people all over the world. We don't know who they are. God does. And so there are prices to pay in ways that we haven't experienced yet here in Canada, really. But as this book of Hebrews was being written, the people that were experiencing all the persecution, there were a lot that were imprisoned. So remember them as if you were with them. Those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Now the next two verses here, and I can't spend a whole lot of time on them, but they describe really what's going on in our world right now. Two things in our world that have become gods: sex and money. Right? And so it says marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So we have made a god out of sex. And when it comes to God's standards of sexuality, most of the world just says that's ridiculous. But there are also people struggling in areas of their sexuality. And I've been asking myself, what in the world is going on? Because I have great compassion for them. And so I'm wrestling with how do we hold up the word of God, because the marriage bed should be honored by all and kept pure. Marriage should be honored. But how also do you minister to people who are wondering what in the world's going on? Gender-wise. I was telling somebody just this morning, I've lost count, the number of fingers on both hands and toes. Toes on my feet. The number of Christian families that have had a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter come out with something they're struggling with. What do we do? What would Jesus do? And then, this is another one. Money. We've made that a god. And it says, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And, you know, I'm thinking about, well, even in Christian circles, we talk about prosperity preaching, but there's also, think of all the online gambling in the world right now. I mean, the amount of money that is just being thrown out. Hey, maybe that person's going to wear orange shoes. Okay, let's bet on that. Meanwhile, we got people that are in desperate need in the world, and we're throwing money at, you know, whether somebody throws a baseball. What is going on? And then, of course, just that love of money. And I'll remind you again, like Paul's words, you know, those well-known words, the love of money is the root of many evils. Remember, money is not the root of evil. I think it was a song back in the 1950s or something called Money is the Root of All Evil. No, it's not. It's not. The love of money is. And so if God has blessed you with money, well, ask him, what do you want me to do with this? Do I just put it in the bank until I die? Or am I supposed to help people? And you see somebody in need financially and you're able to help them, God wants us to do that. So be free of that love of money. Be content with what you have. Now that's not to promote, you know, laziness. But at the same time, I thought of it just the other day. Okay. All right, Fitz, you'll understand this. I made the biggest mistake of my life. I got involved in radio broadcasting. But I learned how to live very cheap. Right? And so, yeah. So I thought about it the other day, though. Well, I got a roof over my head. Right? I'm not hungry. I have a car. I just got, well, it's got to go back in the shop again. But I've got a car. And you know what I mean? Hasn't God looked after us? And he will. Because never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So, as verse 6 says, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, verse 7, I got to admit, I struggle with this verse as well as verse 17. But verse 7, okay, and there's conflict of interest, I admit here. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I'm really glad he put it that way. Or she, whoever wrote this. I don't want anyone to ever imitate me. There are things about me you are best to be thankful you don't have to even worry about in your life. But I was thinking about this too, because it's been over 40 years now. But I truly believe. I believe Jesus Christ really did die. He really did rise from the dead. He really lives. And so, poorly as I do it, I tell people about him. So if you want to imitate anything, don't be afraid to share Christ. Right? Here in Canada. Don't be afraid. You've got people that have all kinds of different beliefs. Well, you've got a belief. You feel free to share it too. Now, Peter tells us, right, do it with gentleness and respect. Sometimes it's just getting a seed planted somewhere. But don't be afraid to let people know. And the more I think of it, the harder it is now for me not to at least mention somewhere. You know, my faith. So anyway, if that's something to imitate, go for it. Like I say, there's lots not to. But thankfully, here it is here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't tell if I'm even going to be the same on Thursday, you know. But Jesus Christ is the same. There's that solid foundation. Now, verse 9, and you had to mention the eclipse, didn't you? But don't take this as me saying that you've been carried away by strange teaching. That's not true. But it says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. We live in a world now where the internet is filled with strange teachings. And so many people have been proven to be false prophets regarding this eclipse, for instance. Well, they said this is God's judgment. It's going to go over cities named Nineveh. All that 4:8 stuff. And yes, it's a great reminder of what happened on the cross on Good Friday. But the eclipse, depending on where you were, okay? And again, please talk to me after here if this is not right, Bruce. I had this all set to say even before you made me feel very nervous about saying it now. But I was watching on CNN, and down in Alabama, they had people that were in the path of totality. And so people were getting married, right? Because they, you know, we're getting married on the day of the eclipse, right on. You know, who's going to argue against that? And they got to see 4 minutes of darkness. It's fantastic. Now, by the time you get to Gander, Newfoundland, I think they saw about 30 or 40 seconds before the sky started lightening up again. Why is that? Well, it's because the earth is round. Do you know how many Christian people believe the earth is flat now? Because of blankety blank stuff they find on the internet. Don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Now, again, the eclipse, an amazing thing, and we look at it as the heavens declare the glory of God. An eclipse occurs about once every 18 months in the world. sometimes even more often. It's just when it goes over the United States of America that it becomes some giant prophetic thing. It's true. Now, the eclipse that occurred on Good Friday, that lasted 3 hours. Someday, God is going to darken the sun. The moon is going to turn blood red. It's not going to give its light before the great and awesome day of the Lord. But it's not going to last 4 minutes. It's not going to last 30 seconds. No, it's going to be a lot longer than that. And so when we see all these people that have been trying to scare people with the eclipses here, well, there's another eclipse that's going to be here in less than a year. In fact, they're asking people to take all their cardboard glasses and donate them so that people in other countries can see the eclipse. About a year and a half, every year and a half, it happens. It happens. And so, did that even make any sense at all there, Bruce? Or to anybody else? I didn't answer the question? No. What was?
So you're saying it was not an eclipse?
Oh, you mean it was not an eclipse? Oh, well, I have a feeling, obviously, yes, it could have been an eclipse. Yeah, Bruce is asking, could that have been an eclipse on the day Christ died? God had to do something, though, in order to make it last 3 hours. It was a cosmic thing. Well, we think about in the Old Testament there where somehow it didn't get dark and it stayed light for 2 days. And people go, wait, that can't happen. You stop the earth, and then, well, I don't know, somehow God was able to do it. We believe in a God of miracles. So I mean, it's neat that there was an eclipse in April, yes. And I had somebody post on Facebook, well, there it is. This is the Lord coming. No, it's the moon moving in front of the sun, and it happens quite often. So when it becomes something truly prophetic, we'll know it. And it will be something a lot longer. And so how God does it, I don't know. And there'll be earthquakes and all of those kinds of things associated. So all I'm saying, if I can't, see if I can dig myself out of this hole. Oh, it's still Sunday. Okay. So what I'm saying is, don't get rattled by everything's got to suddenly be something prophetic. All right, in the Old Testament, you know what they did to false prophets? They ended their life. Do you know how many people or who prophesied during COVID-19 or who prophesied during 2020 that it was going to be the greatest thing? The, you know, 2020, the year of the Lord's vision, there's going to be outpourings of the Spirit. Nobody predicted a pandemic. Isn't that interesting? If God was really speaking to these people, why didn't somebody catch that? Nobody did. So what I'm saying, all right, let me just really be quick here because I don't want to spend all morning on this. We failed the COVID test. Do you know that? Now, I don't mean the one where you shoved that thing up your nose and saw the little line on it. But we failed the COVID test as the children of God. What it showed was just how un and disunified we were and still are. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah, we failed it. Regardless of how you felt about all the different, you know, the vaccines and the masks and all that stuff, and that's all a personal thing. It's a personal thing. But we failed that test because now we even still have family members that don't speak to each other. I had somebody send me something. It was some YouTube video, and a guy was saying, you cannot be a Christian and vote Republican. Or no, Democrat. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat. So I stopped it, and I just sort of said, hey, listen, you know, I said, thanks for sending me this. I don't agree with this man. You can vote whoever you like. It's a free country. I said, sometimes I'm very conservative about certain things. Sometimes I'm very liberal about certain things. I've even been green about certain things. My citizenship is in heaven. I will not put all of my marbles into the hands of one political party. And we have people today in our world, and it's happening, and I dread, because we have an election coming up in the U.S., we're going to have one soon here in Canada, we're judging people's standing with the Lord on the political party they voted for. Do you know how fast that is going to last when you stand before the judgment seat of God? It's going to burn. You and I must find a way to come together to try and avoid some of these weird things that are still going to be said, and especially with AI, you're not going to know what's true and what isn't anymore. Right? You're just not going to know what's true and what isn't anymore. It's happening now. And who do you think is going to really use that? No, not Donald Trump. No, not Pierre Poilievre. No, not Justin Trudeau. Satan. Satan, he's having a field day right now in our world. And my fear is that we're not ready. My fear is we're not ready. And God gave us a test those last couple of years. We were far too interested in our personal freedoms, my rights, and we forgot. Our citizenship is in heaven. We want to be the best Canadian we can be. And vote for whoever you like. I'm not going to judge whether you're a Christian or not by what party you voted for. And you know what? God is not going to either. Sometime just look up Matthew 25, since I didn't give Michael any slides on it. Look up Matthew 25. Look at those questions Jesus is going to ask us. Find your political party in there. No. He's going to ask us, hey, I was hungry. Did you feed me? I was thirsty. Did you give me something to drink? I needed clothes. What did you do for me? For the least of these. So you and I, well, I've dwelled far too long on this, but don't be carried away. And the teachings are going to get stranger and stranger and stranger as we move on. Well, you got to wonder just how soon the coming of the Lord is, don't you? So it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And then he gets into this. And these next couple verses here have to do with the whole of the book of Hebrews. Remember, the whole of the book of Hebrews was written to get people into the new covenant. Okay? We leave the old covenant behind. Jesus Christ has come. He's inaugurated something brand new. And so it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. And as Jesus said, you know, whatever you eat just goes out of your body. Now, of course, don't eat junk. Okay, feel free on the ice cream night, but you know what I mean? I'm getting to the age now. I got to watch everything that I eat now. So, yes, eat healthy and everything like that. That's not going to get you closer to God if you decide, I'm not going to eat a certain food on a certain day. No, he said, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. And he's talking now about, you know, the high priest. And he says there, the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. Now, I'll stop there before I get to the bodies being burned outside the camp. But We've learned this, right? We have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. Once a year, the high priest could enter a copy of the Holy of Holies. It was a copy of what's in heaven. Our high priest went there. You and I can now approach the throne of God without any human mediator because of what he's done for us. And then it says the bodies of these animals were burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. So again, our holiness comes through his blood. But you know, if you are going to live for Christ, and I encourage you to do that, and pray for me that I would do it too, but it will mean that you and I are going to have to be seen as kind of odd. Hopefully we're seen as odd in all the right ways, but it means we're going to have to go, we're not going to be popular. It's not going to be popular. When I first came to Christ, it was actually popular. Bob Dylan is a born-again Christian. B.J. Thomas became a born-again Christian. Now Johnny Cash, right? It was like, wow. You know, there was a time of revival there. Now, you tell somebody you're an evangelical Christian, they've already got you pegged as to who you are, and it's not a pretty picture. So you and I are going to have to maybe suffer somewhat, but Jesus did, and we want to be with him, don't we? We want to go with him, even if it means being a little unpopular, even with members of your family. So let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. One of the great people of faith, Abraham, and God said to him, Abraham, I'm going to send you somewhere. Now, if you were to talk to Abraham, you would say, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. God says, I'm going somewhere. Well, how are you going to know when you get there? I don't know. You'll let me know. Abraham was looking forward to a different city, and he went without knowing where he was going, but God was leading him. God's going to lead you and me too. And our hope is not here. We're looking for the city that is to come. Now, we don't have bloods of bulls and goats, but we have sacrifices. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So again, be okay with professing the name of Christ. Do it properly, gently, with respect, but do it. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So we have those two aspects, don't we? Right? I was involved one time with the March for Jesus, where we sang Shine, Jesus, Shine. And I got interviewed on CKCO. And you know how, like, when you get asked a question and you think about a day later, you go, I know what I should have said. Because the reporter just said to me, hey, last year you had 2,300 people. This year you got 1,500. This thing's going down, isn't it? I made up something. But you know what? That was also the day of the Mennonite relief sale. So some people were in New Hamburg raising money, buying quilts and pies and all that other good stuff. And what I should have said was that there are two aspects to this Christian life. When we follow Christ, yes, we get together and corporately praise him and worship him, but he wants us to change our lives. And he wants us to do good in the world, love our neighbors as ourselves. And so here, the whole Kitchener-Waterloo area is getting to see what following Jesus is all about. On the one hand, yes, we were marching and dancing and praising. And on the other hand, we're supporting Mennonite Central Committee. We're doing things for the Lord. Those two aspects. And people had an amazing opportunity to see that happening. I wish I'd have said that on TV, but anyway. Okay, here we go. Conflict of interest. Oh, but I can share this, actually. You know what? It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. I was chatting with somebody the other day, and they were involved in a church where, hey, listen, if you're, you know, the pastor, whatever he says goes. No. And by the way, not just me, right? Well, I look at young Mark. Yeah, I look. I look at Evan. Well, yes, I look at Kevin and Diane, right? Leaders. Linda, you lead a women's Bible study every week. So just as Bruce is going to do afterwards, you feel free to come up to me anytime and say, what did you mean by that? But this part is one of the scary verses for any of us in any kind of church leadership role, okay? James scared the daylights out of all of us when he said not many of you should become teachers, because you're going to be judged harder. Well, this one here too. Submit to these leaders' authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you. And actually, some Bible translations say they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. I remember years ago when I was pastoring this church, and this one guy was very prominent in the church. He was about to do something kind of reckless. I don't know, or maybe not. But I wanted to ask him about it. And he just said, what right do you have to tell me what to do? I'll do whatever I want. And I said, no, you don't get it. I have to keep watch over your soul. I got to give an account. So I got to ask you this hard question. He was he still went ahead and did whatever he wanted, but I had to bring it up, right? And so when we think of Mark and Evan and Kevin and Diane, anyone else, that's our leadership team, by the way, in case you're wondering why I'm centering them out. But anyone like that, they watch over your souls. And that's a huge burden. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you, right? Who wants a cranky church leader? And then the three best words to say at this moment, pray for us. Pray for us. We're sure we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And again, I'm glad he put it that way. I don't always live honorably in every way. Never have. But you won't find anybody that wants to more than me. Right? And so our desire, we want it. We want to live honorably. So I particularly urge you to pray. Now, in verse 19, this is where some people would say maybe the Apostle Paul wrote the letter of Hebrews. And he might have, because there were several times when he wrote to a church and he said, I'm really hoping to get there. As soon as I get out of prison, or maybe I'll see you at such and such a time in the year. So it says there, I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. This is somebody that maybe is in prison. Now, a lot of them were, not just Paul. And so who knows? Could have been Paul. Now, you know what? I'm going to skip down to verse 22. It says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, mine too. For in fact, I have written to you quite briefly, and I should have marked this, but look at this. There's the book of Hebrews in my Bible, my whole Bible. There it is. Right? It can barely support the weight of the Bible. It's not long. Not long, 13 chapters. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. So again, was this Paul or some other person? Because, they worked together, and people like Timothy, he worked in a number of different churches. If he arrives soon, I'll come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Isn't that nice? No, that's how far the gospel was starting to spread now. And then the perfect way to end any book in the Bible, grace be with you all. And the perfect way to end an off-the-rails sermon. I'll go back to verse 20 now, Michael. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may that God equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I will always sing your praise, here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heaven's my true home, when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Let us all determine today and every day, Lord, I'll live my life for you. Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus. And we're going to close with another Irish song in just a moment. Irish song, Colin. Oh, by the way, I was telling Mary that this would be one of those times, because one time she actually asked to see the notes from something I had said. I said, Mary, this is one time I'm going to have fewer notes. Now you know why I usually don't go with fewer notes, because I can tend to go all over the place. But Lord, I want to thank you for your word. What an amazing book this is. Lord, keep showing us the truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loved us so much that he would die on a cross for our sins. And he is alive today. Father, help us to hold on. We're already seeing what you told us was going to happen in the world. We're already seeing people who become lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, arrogant, without love. Jesus said the love of most will go cold. We're going to live in violent times before you return. And Father, we don't know. You're the only one who knows when you're bringing the curtain down on this world. But Lord, you've called everybody here, and you've gifted them. And so, Father, I just pray, and I include myself in this whole thing too. Let us keep our focus on you. So many things to distract us, but let us keep our focus on you and on your commandment to love one another as brothers and sisters, as you have loved us. And may people be drawn to that light. I don't know what else is going to help people if we can't somehow let the light of God shine. And so let it shine in every single one of these precious people that are here today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.